It's an honor to be here again. I really enjoy coming over here. And I'm always conscious of the clock because the places where I came from, curfew time was at 9 o'clock in the evening. At least it seemed that way because I turned the preacher off at 9. But y'all just get started around 9. I don't have a long message. In fact, I don't plan to preach tonight. I want to share a scripture, and then I'd like to give you some testimonies. Because it's all about praising God tonight, right? Doesn't it feel good to praise the Lord? And I give honor to the pastor, and I'm so thankful that he's here. And he's able to function, able to be here after what he's been through in the last few days. God knows what's best for us all. He knows why things happen. I don't have all the answers. This week, the person that owns the building that we're in, who is a multi-millionaire we've been renting from for several years, came in to visit, and the rent was seemingly beside the point. She didn't even bring me a receipt. She had something on her mind. And as soon as she came in, she started crying. And I knew something was wrong. It wasn't about money. It was about life and things that are happening. And she said, how can people be so cruel? And then she shared with me as she cried about how a little boy had gotten a pellet gun for Christmas and shot one of her guinea hens, which she was very attached to, and it just broke her heart. But you know, although we don't understand why things like this might happen, there is some understanding that God has the wisdom. He knows what can come as a result of the crushing, the heartbreak, the pain. Because I see this thing that's going on in her life. As just a year ago, she was a very tough, firm, you got to pay your rent by the 5th of the month or else, you know, that kind of attitude. Now she's a soft, it doesn't matter if you take a few days, take your time, we're happy with you. And you wouldn't have even thought that she would be a person that would let you take her by the hand and say, let's pray together. And that's what we did. Prayer can get the job done. Prayer can make a difference. And the willingness to acknowledge God, no matter, and I notice, you know, as he's trying, this beautiful family was being introduced tonight, you know, isn't it good that we can all get together and we don't have to parade around, this is what I am or this is what I am, but as the pastor said, we all have something in common. And what we are is people who need God and the ability to say, God, can you hear me, and know that he does hear. And the ability to be able to find our direction as a result of what God has given us. Amen. So tonight is not about what you are or what I am or where I came from or where you come from. It's about our Jesus and what he has done and what he will do if we will just trust him. And we have a reason to praise the Lord. We have a reason to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. I think the reading of the word of God is always in order. And so I'm going to go to the book of Romans. And you can remain seated since you were standing just a moment ago if you'd like. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And we'll begin at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, I'm at Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hey, why don't we read that out loud together? Are you ready? Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's read that again. That's worth letting it sink way down deep into our hearts. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen. And then it goes on and says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the Son, the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know," everybody say, "and we know."
"And we know."
Say it again.
"And we know."
"And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose."
Amen.
Let's praise him tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was talking to a minister a few years ago and telling him something I shared with you about Sister Emerson down in Louisiana. Some of you haven't heard this because you weren't here to hear this, but how many of you believe God is the same God that was able to deliver Paul and Silas out of jail, the God you serve? Do you believe he's the same God? Do you believe he's the same God that was able to make the crippled man leap and dance after Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk"? You believe the God we serve tonight is the same God? Hallelujah. You believe he's the same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den and the three Hebrew children from the fire? Is he the God that you serve? You know, and our God tells us in his word, "I change not. I do not change." And we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we're serving the same God of yesterday, today, if he ever was a healer, he's a healer now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If he's ever had power to save, he has power to save today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If he's ever had the ability to open a door that no man could open, he's able to open that door now. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he's ever blessed anybody, he can bless you tonight. Praise his name. Praise his name. And I'm going to talk about some things. I was talking to this minister about Sister Emerson, how that out on a parking lot at the church while we were experiencing a revival, and when I say revival, I'm talking about the church members had been lifted up beyond their complacency. They had decided, you know, we need to keep on praying like we used to, and they had gotten to this point of feeling after God, wanting to draw closer to God. And during the midst of prayer meetings and this desire to know more of God, a revival sprang forth right in the middle of the winter. In fact, it was during the holiday season. It wasn't planned, but something happened to that congregation. And a move of God started in that congregation, and it just unannounced, it was just spontaneous. Each night we would say, well, let's have church again tomorrow night. This went on for 9 weeks, church every night. We had a Christmas program planned. We had to cancel it. We worked so hard to do that Christmas program. But there was such a move of God. And during that revival meeting, which we had not planned, it had not been on our agenda. But sometimes the things that we have planned have to be interrupted because God has an agenda. God has an agenda. And things started happening. And as I was sharing some of these miracles with this minister who believes in God, trusts God, and preaches about God, and has seen God heal, he looked at me with a look on his face like, I don't believe what you're saying. It's so easy after God has helped us to soon forget how it was. We're thankful and we remember, but we're looking for something now. And it's human nature. You look in the Word of God, you see how people, you know, that's the way it's always been. You know, they crossed the sea. It was impossible to do so. It's not long. They're looking for some other God to serve or looking for some other answer, something else to, you know, and sin. And they don't listen to the men of God anymore and they do their own thing. Well, I was sharing with this man of God who's pastored for years how Sister Emerson broke her leg. And you doctors that are here, you know, it takes a while for a double fracture, especially when the bones have come, you know, to where they're trying to pierce through the skin and where the leg is turned a different direction on the bottom. It's not the same direction as the knee. It's all broken. And you know that those things take time to heal. Amen. How many of you believe it takes time for that to happen? You ever hurt yourself and it took some time for it to get well? Amen. And so any healing, we need to give God the glory for. If it takes you a year to feel better, thank God you can feel better. If God hadn't provided healing in your body, you wouldn't even be here. The last time you got sick, or the first time you got sick, you'd still have whatever that was that got a hold of you, or whatever injury you have experienced in your life. That would still be there if you were still here. Praise God for healing. It's provided in our bodies by God Himself. By His stripes, you were healed. By His stripes, you are healed. And I don't understand all there is about these things, but I've had enough experience in my life to know my God is real. He's real. Hallelujah. He's real in my soul. Oh, I've gone to the prayer line, and I've been in these meetings, you know, where everybody lines up for prayer. They anoint with oil, and they pray. And things happen sometimes. Sometimes they don't. I've never been to some of these TV evangelist meetings where everybody gets healed. And, you know, of course, I know that a lot of stuff is not real. But regardless of how much artificial there may be, amen, just because somebody may present me with a $100 bill that may be counterfeit, I'm not going to stop looking for $100 bills. Amen. And I have had enough experience in the Word of God to know that what these people who may be fake, who may not be doing it according to the real thing that's available, it may be artificial, may be counterfeit many times, but that's not going to stop me from owning what's really available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want the real thing. And I told this brother, Sister Emerson, she was lying on that parking lot. We were in a revival. Over 100 people had already been saved. I'd already baptized some 30 or 40 at that point. And we were just having a glorious time. There's just nothing like a Holy Ghost hallelujah party going on at church. You know, it's just nothing like it. It's just wonderful. We were just, the crowds just got bigger and bigger, and we were just like drunk people, you know, so excited we didn't know what to do with ourselves. And we had this victory march. The evangelist, who was unannounced, but he showed up, and I did all I could to check up on him because the Word says, know them that labor among you. And I didn't know them, but I found some people they knew, and I asked them. They said they're okay. So, and I asked God. I don't know what he said, but because I had so much doubt in my own thoughts about these men. But everybody else I asked said they're okay. So I assume God, since he was silent, they're okay. So we just took it one night at a time. And they got up and said, these two brethren, And one of them was a convert that the other one had brought to God. And said, we want to have a victory march because we'd seen all these things happening. We had actually seen a blind man receive his sight. He'd been blind all his life, Brother Hale. Not just a few days. He'd been blind all of his life. And God fixed his eyes. Hallelujah. And, of course, the news went out, and that brought more people because people want to go where the miracles are happening. You know, these things, you can't keep it quiet when it's real. You don't have to advertise it. It'll take care of itself. When a man cannot see for years, and now he can, all his friends find out, it spreads. It spreads. And, you know, a lot of people don't appreciate the fact it might have happened at church. They'd rather hear it happen at the hospital, but it still happened at church. Hallelujah. And several things like that happened. But to save time, I won't go into all the things. There's just so many. But this lady and this man, this evangelist said, we're going to have a victory march, and we want to march around the church on the outside of the building 7 times. It was a building at least as large as this or larger. It was larger than this because we have had over 1,000 people in it at one time. I guess you could get them in here if you crowded them in here like we did there. They were like sardines in a can. We just had people squeezed together standing along the walls. And so he said, we're going to have this victory march 7 times around the church. Well, around they went. And I was concerned because we didn't have a lighted parking lot. And Sister Emerson was around 80 years old. And she fell. And she broke that leg. And as I heard the people say, what are we going to do? Call an ambulance. And here we were in a victory march. And people were stopping on the side of the road out in front of the church to see what all the activity is about. And I could just see the headlines in the paper the next day. Victory March ends with lady having broken leg. And, you know, and so I was relating this to this minister. And this is what happened because I'm going to go on and get into what I want to say and get through here real quick before your curfew. But this really happened. And you may not want to believe it, and it's okay if you don't believe it. Still trust God. You don't have to trust me. You don't have to believe me. If you don't know me, it's okay not to believe me. But please, no, I say this. Before God, before this pastor, and in the memory of the pastor that trusted and had confidence and allowed me to become his friend and yielded this pulpit a few times, several times through the years, I would not disgrace this place by telling you something that's not true. It's not worth it. There's no reason to do it. I'm going to speak the truth. Praise God. There's too much at stake. Thank you, Jesus. So, if I say something tonight is unbelievable, just keep on trusting God anyhow, because He loves you, and He may do something unbelievable for you too. Thank you, Jesus. But I remember that night as I shared with this minister. I said to this lady, as we were desperate, something that I read in the Word of God. Sister Emerson, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Thank you, Jesus. Bringing no glory to myself, because I was a helpless person. I didn't know what to do, but I saw something happen. Those bones came back together. That leg went back together. And that lady jumped up like a little schoolgirl and started leaping across that parking lot and went running around and around and around. And she ran into the church, ran up the aisle, ran up some steps. We had some steps across the building. It was about 2 times as wide as this. And she ran up those buildings, those steps, and she ran back and forth on the platform, shouting and leaping and praising God. And then she took the microphone and she said, I fell and broke my leg and I think I broke my hip, but the Lord Jesus put it back together again. Hallelujah. And I told this minister about this. And he said, are you sure? And when I told you about this before, I couldn't really remember. There's some other details, but I don't want to go into the town. A lot of wonderful things happen. And then there was a time that I related this to other people, and since they weren't there, they didn't see this. It was hard for them to believe it could happen because they had friends and loved ones. This other thing I want to tell you. We had a brother by the name of Howard. He came to our service on a Wednesday night. This is the church that my father pastored in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He showed up on a Wednesday night with a big cancer on his face. And he wanted to speak. And my father gave him the microphone. And Brother Howard said, "I've been suffering with this cancer on my face for 12 years. And he said, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me if I would get up here and claim this miracle, that God would see me through. And he said, I'm here to tell you folks, I've suffered with this cancer for 12 years, and I'm going to come back here next Wednesday night, and that cancer will be gone in the name of Jesus." Now that's putting some faith on the line. The next Wednesday night, we were all wanting to see how this would turn out. I was the organist in the church. And at 7:30, the service started, and we were all there, but Brother Howard wasn't there. And, of course, my mind immediately said, yep, it didn't happen, didn't happen, you know. Poor man got us all psyched up and didn't really believe it was going to happen anyhow. Amen, but God made a believer out of me. About 5 minutes later, here came a man with no cancer on his face, walking slowly down the aisle of the church. I saw my father stand up with some tears in his eyes. He said, "Brother Howard, give us the details. We can see that something has happened." He came to the front of the church and he said, "You know," he said, "when I left last Wednesday night and I got home," he said, "for the first time in 12 years, I felt something different happening on my face." He said, "I woke up the next morning and that entire cancer was lying on my bed and my face was just as clear as a baby." Hallelujah. You don't have to believe it, but I saw it. You know, the Word of God, and I believe we have believers here tonight, the Word of God is filled with testimonies. And they don't just tell it one time. The horse and his rider, I remember it. The horse and his rider went down into the sea. Oh, sing unto the Lord, for he's good. Praise him, for he's worthy of all praise. He has destroyed our enemy. He has made a way in the wilderness. He's given us food when we were hungry, water when we were thirsty. We were in a dry and barren land, and he furnished us miraculous provisions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord over and over. Read the Psalms. Don't they just keep telling it over and over? So I hope you don't get bored when I tell you the same things over and over. I don't see these things every day of my life. I can count on my fingers all the miracles that I've seen in 60 years of living. I may have seen a lot more I don't know about, but regardless of how many miracles of healing and how many healings that were not instantaneous I may have witnessed, there is no greater miracle than the miracle of knowing that the Almighty God has given us a Savior who bled and died on an old rugged cross. It was placed into a tomb, and he rose again. And he made it possible that you, and you could have a testimony. I have been brought out of sin and delivered into the kingdom of God, and there's a promise in my life of eternal life, and I shall live with him forever. What a miracle that is. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus can cleanse us from sin. Oh, aren't you thankful tonight? Woo! I'm thankful tonight. Now, miracles are in the Bible, that I reviewed a couple of things that happened in my life. And see, I know more about what's happened in my life than I know what's happened in your life. As I talk about these things, how many of you have already thought of some miracles you know about that you know for sure that you have witnessed in your life? Raise your hand. See, and if we took time for everybody to share what you know, we'd be here for a long time, wouldn't we? Amen. But I've been asked to come, so I'll tell you what's happened in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's come to the present time, things that are going on now. How many of you got to visit Sister Vicki Lovejoy? You got to see her. You saw her. You remember, about a year or so ago, I mentioned her for the first time over this pulpit. And I told you an unbelievable story. So unbelievable, some of you looked at me just like that preacher did when I told him about that Sister Emerson's broken bone. I know you love me. I know that preacher loved me. He was my own daddy. I said, are you sure? Hallelujah. But some of you looked at me, but you know what? I don't think it was unbelief. I just think it was more astonishment and bewilderment that some preacher from the South would go up here with his southern accent and dare to tell such an amazing, unbelievable story in this wonderful church where only the truth comes over this pulpit. Hallelujah. And then just shortly before our camp meeting over there in Norwich, well, we call a camp meeting. It's the closest thing we can come up with a camp. Of course, there's nothing camp about it, but we call a camp meeting anyhow. And just before that, I shared with you how that God miraculously gave those people a van. Here's a lady dying with cancer. Now, you know, when you saw Vicki, how long ago has that been? It's been a long time. She celebrated her birthday. Now, her birthday, this is about 6 months ago. It was in June. How many months ago was June? 6 months ago, remember? And we were talking about then how that a year before, praise God, she had only been given 3 weeks to live. She has brain tumors, throat tumors, cancerous tumors all over her body, lung cancer, a big 60-pound cancerous tumor on her stomach, bone cancer, all kinds of cancers, breast cancer. She is just filled with cancer. And she was given 3 weeks to live, but all she was doing with her life at that moment was just sitting in a little room, according to her own testimony, wondering why church people wouldn't even come and invite her to church, just sitting there wondering, does anybody care? And then she discovered on the internet some people that cared. Hallelujah. And you heard the reports as we kept coming over. We were excited because these things were developing. But it's hard to really get into what you can't see. You need to sometimes see something for yourself. But we talked about God gave her the Holy Spirit and she was baptized. Right after she was told you only have 3 weeks or less to live. And her son was baptized the same day. Praise God. Now, and then she got in that, you know, they were going down the road. I told you this before you saw the van with your own eyes. They were going down the road in Oklahoma City. And she said, I want that van. I want that van. And before the day was over, this stranger that they didn't even know, they didn't know anything about the van, this stranger gave them that van and they drove it to Norwich, Connecticut, and many of you saw the van.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, it was a miracle she even came to Connecticut. You don't go to Connecticut with bone cancer, brain cancer, thyroid cancer, stomach cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, and only been given 3 weeks to live over a year ago. Well, here we are 6 months after that last camp meeting. A couple of weeks ago, she had a massive stroke. And according to her son, it looks like this is it. There's no way. Well, I told the church the other night, let's pray. You know, it's kind of where we kind of expect a miracle if it's Vicki Lovejoy. God's just done this so many times, over and over. We witnessed her. She's gone through at least probably 10 strokes since we've known her. She lost all feeling in her face, lost the ability to talk. She couldn't reason anymore. This was it. But I mentioned to the church that, hey, she'll be back. I felt like she'd be back. Because she'd been calling us every few minutes all week long, praising the Lord. She even called your pastor, left a message, I'm praying for you. About 3 hours before church tonight, she called me. She said, "You tell the folks at Newington, I love them." In her Oklahoma talk way. This brother here went down to visit them in Oklahoma City, didn't you? And since we were in that little camp meeting, when she got back home, she learned that a storm had come and damaged her house, and some neighbors and one of her own loved ones, who had recently gotten out of jail, had ransacked the house, destroyed it, killed her puppy dog, stole her new laptop computer that she had miraculously obtained, completely demolished their automobile that they had sitting in the driveway, and just meanness, you know, just broke her heart when they called and she was all upset. And they were, you know, they lost, all the furniture was destroyed, and what wasn't destroyed had been stolen. Amen. And you wonder, you know, can God get any glory out of this? Praise God. Well, he has gotten glory, and he will get glory again.
That's right.
Amen. He has glorified, and he will be glorified.
Come on,
hallelujah. Things happen. God's still what he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So they've been living all these months in one room in that house. A few weeks ago, the house even caught on fire, burned up all of her clothes. If Job had problems, he ought to talk to Vicki and find out what she's gone through. Burn up all of her clothes and burn everything around her except that one room, you might say. And they were able to piece it together that they still live in that one room. But you talk about losing things and you've lost your health, you've lost your home, and all you've got is God. Praise God. It seems like you have every reason to hold on to God with all your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So she's been without a computer all these months. Therefore, she hasn't been able to tune in to our live services, which we broadcast over the internet, as many of you know. You've been a part of it. And so she hasn't been able to tune in because she doesn't have access to a computer. She told me today on the telephone, and she'd been holding this back. She had shared it with Sister Sharon, but she wanted to wait till she could tell it to the church, but she couldn't wait any longer. She went ahead and shared it with me, asked me to promise not to tell. Before the conversation was over, she said, "Okay, you can tell." So I'm telling. Praise God. But her ability to tune into the service had been taken away, and this was more important to her than a new car or a new house. It is that need to have that touch with the people of God. Hallelujah. It's not that there weren't churches there, but she had been abused by some church people and didn't trust them. And there were some reasons that they failed. And of course, her husband being a motorcycle type individual who's not into church, and her son having been a devil worshiper, and she herself had come out of demon worship. And all this serving God, she couldn't even say Jesus until just a year and a half or so ago. Almost 2 years ago now. And God blessed her and saved her. Praise God. But she was sharing with me how a few days ago she was sitting in her house. And since she didn't have a computer anymore, she decided she'd watch television. Turned on her television, and she got to enjoying the soap operas. Because nothing else to do. Sitting there sick, watching TV. And she said she started getting aggravated when the commercials would come on right when she wanted to see what's going to happen next. And she said, then something happened. She said, I guess you call it conviction. She said, it started bothering me that I'm so into these soap operas on this television. I don't have my computer. She said, I sat right there during that commercial, and I said, Lord Jesus, this is Vicki Lovejoy. And that's the way she prays. That's why she prayed on that recording you heard a while ago. Jesus, this is Vicki Lovejoy. She has to make sure he knows who it is. Lord Jesus, she said, this is Vicki Lovejoy. Now, I don't want to get hooked on soap operas. And my computers have all been taken away. But I want you to give me a computer, Jesus. I'm Vicki Lovejoy. We'd already given her several. She can't hold on to them. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The next day, or the next day and a half or 2 days, whatever it was, she's in this situation with cancer and she's had so many problems. She can't be left alone, but her husband's been out of work so much he has to be at work. But there's nobody to take care of Sister Vicki. So, and now listen, please believe this story even if you can't believe it. I'm about to tell you. And when I get through, don't go to the casino and gamble. How many of you promise you won't go to the casino tonight? And I get, okay, all right. She said there was no place for her to go, nobody to care for her. Her husband had to be away. She couldn't be left at home alone. And so her sinner husband came up with an idea. I'll leave you at the casino. So he took Sister Vicki to the casino. And bear in mind, this is after that prayer. Lord Jesus, deliver me from these soap operas and help me get a computer. So here she finds herself in a casino because they're open 24 hours a day. And Ken talked to the people and said, my wife has no place to stay. I've got to go to work for the next 8 hours. Is there any place in this casino where she'll be safe and I won't have to worry about her while I go to work? And they said, well, sure, we've got a room here that's kind of private. People come in there, play the slot machines and the different, you know, little items. But she said, it's mostly an empty room. It has a TV and a nice place to, you know, to relax. Well, now, I'm asking you not to go to the casino, but I believe with all my heart Jesus went to a casino that night. She was sitting there, and she didn't want to watch television. And she didn't know anything about that machine up there next to her that had all those little balls in there that have to be lined up in different colors. She didn't know anything about that. But it was fascinating to her. And she went over and just started pushing buttons and trying this and trying that, just playing with it. And a man walked in and started, he knew what to do with those machines. And he started playing, gambling, you know, do whatever, because I've sheltered myself all these years. I don't even know what that stuff is. I just know it's out there. But as he was playing this machine, he looked over her and saw her. He said, are you winning anything? She said, oh, no, I'm not even gambling. She said, and she told him a story. I got cancer and told him about the Holy Ghost, baptism, and told him all these things about her church, her internet church, and how she doesn't have a computer anymore, and the details of how she ended up there. She said, actually, this casino's babysitting with me tonight because I just have to have a place to be. And so the gentleman said, well, you know, he said, I tell you what, he said, you don't have to gamble. He said, let me put some money in that thing. And he said, since you're going to fiddle around with it, you might as well have some fun with it really working. So he put $20 in it. And she sat there and played with that machine for about 6 hours on that $20. It just kept doing something to keep itself going. And another man walks in. And he walks over to that other machine, and he starts talking to her, and he says, so, you doing any good? She said, well, I've been sitting here for 6 hours. I don't know anything about this machine. I'm not really playing. I just like to watch those little balls roll around on there. And she said, a man came, I don't know him, but he put $20 in. And she said, it gives me something to do, because I don't want to watch the television, so I'm just having fun. And then she gave him her story about how God saved her, how she had cancer, how she is a living miracle. And she talked about Jesus and the need to get baptized and on and on and on. And so she said, so who are you? And he said, I'm a man sent to be a blessing to you. And she said, but what is your name? He said, well, you can call me Santa if you want to. Let me be your Santa without a beard. And she didn't think much about that, but she said, so you're sent to be a blessing. In what way? He said, I'm sent to be a blessing. He said, you go ahead and have fun. He put another $100 in the machine and walked out. Now, please don't get ready to go to the casino when I get through. Thank you, Jesus. And don't get rid of me. I mean, let me come back again after this. I'm just telling you what she's... Another unbelievable thing that's happening right now. This didn't happen back in the Old Testament. This has been happening the last few days. Hallelujah. But we're here to praise the Lord tonight, right? A couple of hours later, the man walks back in, and he says, I'm here to be a blessing. And he said, now you do what I tell you. And you choose this, 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 and hit that button. And she did, and she won the jackpot. Mixed emotions, right? Wait a minute. How do we figure this all out? She won the jackpot. If it had been a little more money, it would have been $10,000, according to what that man said. But he said, and then he told her, he said, there's two bills you need to pay desperately. They need to be paid by tomorrow. And he said, so this, and the lady went, cashed it, gave her $700 that she won, and said, now you take that money, and you go pay those two bills. He didn't know about two bills, but she knew about those two bills. He said, you go pay those two bills, and then you take this sheet of paper with this address on it, and go to this address, and buy yourself a new laptop computer. Well, she went and paid her bills the next day. She had $200 left over. She asked Kenny, do you think we ought to go to that place to see about a computer with $200? He said, yeah, I think we need to. And they went. Sister Vicki walked up and looked at all these computers. $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500. But she found one she really likes. And she said, I really like that computer. So the man said, well, it's $1,500. And, on sale. And she said, well, I've only got $200. And he pulled up an envelope and he said, well, I have instructions. If you give me what you've got, and the rest of it's paid for. And she said, he said, it's all paid for. And an hour before she called me today, she said, I just got my computer. And guess what she got? She got a computer better than anything I've got. Praise. It's a Pentium M, if you know anything about that, it's a powerful computer. And she's... Now, don't feel too bad. If God wants to do it that way, it's God's business. And I can't think of one time the lady gambled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. My grandpa used to say it like this. Would you take money that was won in gambling? He said, the devil's had it long enough. Hand it over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, however you think about it, no matter what, I know this. A week ago, she was crying because there's no computer. She was in front of her television saying, Lord, deliver me from that thing. I want to be back in church. I want a computer. Help me get a computer. She was beyond the ability to do anything on her own or by herself. Other people had to make decisions for her. And today, she has a new laptop computer, and she's going to join us in church next week and give her testimony over that computer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And, you know, so I know I'm talking about Sister Vicki a lot, but I'll try to end with this part. Then, you know, I thought, well, man, this is something. I was rejoicing about the fact that God answered your prayer. And then Sister Vicki said, but let me tell you this. And I told our lawyer, wherever he is, not this one, but the other one, amen, a few nights ago about, there he is over there. And when I got through telling him a little bit about this, he gave me that same look that my daddy gave me. And he said something like this, that just doesn't happen. But this did happen. A few months ago, and some of you knew about this part of it, Vicki was in the hospital with her cancer, amen, and having to undergo a lot of treatments. And she wanted so desperately to be in church over the computer, over the internet, that her husband broke into the doctor's office and turned on the doctor's computer. They downloaded PowerTalk and tuned in to our church service, and then he got arrested for breaking in and entering. And we were... we were sitting there just minding our own business, and the phone rang. And they were in court, and it was the judge and the prosecuting attorney and the defense lawyer calling my telephone number to verify this crazy story they had just heard. They said, according to this man and his wife in this wheelchair, he broke into that office so she could go to church. He said, are you a minister? I said, yes, sir. Are you Vicky's pastor? I said, yes, sir. Does she go to church on the internet? I said, yes, sir. Do you condone breaking and entering? I said, well, no, sir. He said something like, this is the most cockeyed story I've ever heard. I said, I had nothing to do with it, sir. And I said, but think about this. I said, although I'm against it, and you're against it, and the law's against it, here's a dying woman, according to all medical people, only has a few days to live. Here's a loving husband that's willing to do just about anything to keep her happy during the short time he seems to have with her, with his wife. And she wanted to be in her internet church so much that he was willing to sacrifice whatever it would cost him in order to give her the opportunity one more time to be in church. And he said, but you don't condone it, but you can understand why it happened. I said, that's it, sir. So they let him off with a $100 fine. Well, I didn't know this part of the story till today. Talk about today now. We're going to praise God in a minute and go home. Today, a couple of hours before I came here, this part I'm going to tell you now. Thank you, Jesus. This is what she told me today on the phone. She said, after they told Kenny he's going to have to pay $100, she said, I had something to say to the judge. She said, because the judge laughed at me when I told him that I went to church on the internet. She said, that judge laughed, and the prosecutor, they laughed, and they did not believe me. And she said, Your Honor, I have something to say. And he said, okay, go ahead. And she said, if you don't repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus, you're going to hell. That's another thing you don't do in a courtroom, brother. She said, and he said, are you saying this to a judge in a court where your husband's just been arrested? She said, I'm saying it, sir. And she said, what have I got to lose? I've got cancer and I'm dying, and I'm telling you, if you don't get right with God, you're going to hell. He said, I said it just like that. Of course, here I am wanting to come down here, but I'm sitting on the edge of my seat to see what happened next. And she said, the judge said, get out of here. And so they left. Here's the part that's fascinating. This past Sunday night, while we were worshiping God in church, having a wonderful time praising the Lord, and we've been having some prayer meetings lately, and God's just been blessing our church. Amen. I didn't realize this, but that judge's wife was tuned in to our internet service. And here's why. She was looking for that woman that told her husband he's going to go to hell. She said, the judge's wife said, I've got to find that woman. He woke up in the middle of the night just crying like a baby. Now, don't you go out either and start telling everybody you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I'm telling you right now. It doesn't work like that all the time. In fact, you don't even think of that as wisdom. But this is Dickie, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Said her husband, that judge, woke up in the middle of the night a few nights ago, crying. She said, what's wrong, honey? He said, that woman told me I'm going to hell. I've got to find that woman. I want to talk to that woman. This is a judge that had arrested, or that had tried her husband for breaking and entering. I've got to find that woman. Told me I'm going to hell. And so they inquired and they found out where our church was, because it's still a matter of court record. And she tuned in. And they heard our testimonies. They saw us praising God as they watched us live on the internet. And they heard the sincere people in our just humble way saying, "We love God. God's good. He's done so much for me. Just praising the Lord. Hallelujah." And now they're trying to make an appointment to get together. And it's not Vicky looking for the judge. It's the judge looking for Vicky. And it's not with an arrest warrant, and it's not to take her to court. It's to learn why it is that caused him to cry so much and think about her all the time ever since that day. Hallelujah. You don't have to believe it. And I probably wouldn't either. I hadn't already seen all this other stuff. Praise God. But I told Sister Vicky, I've got one more trip to make to Arkansas, and that will qualify me for a free ticket on Delta Airlines. And I said, if you get that judge to agree to let me take him and his wife out to lunch, I'll use that free ticket to come there and spend some time with that man who wants to know more about it. I said, wouldn't it be nice if we could get there? She said, I'm going to do all I can to get you and that judge and his wife together. And I hope to come back here with a report. There's a judge in Oklahoma City that says, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and praise the Lord tonight, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He's so worthy to be praised. There's nothing our God can't do. All things are possible. All things work together for the good. To those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you love Him tonight? You love Him with all your heart? Thank you, Jesus. If there be any glory about anything, believable or not, all glory goes to Jesus Christ. If there be any praise, all praise goes to Jesus Christ. I am nothing but a messenger boy, but it's worth telling, and it's worth telling again. What God was, God still is. What God is, He will keep on being. So Jesus did spit on the ground and put mud in the blind man's eye. He doesn't always do it the way we expect it to be done, but the end result, it happened. It was God. It was a miracle. And you have to wave your hands today and say, praise God. Praise God. I've been delivered from sin. I've been brought out of muddy clay. I've been set free. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been blessed. Hallelujah. Wave those hands. Praise our God. Clap those hands. Raise your voices and let Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more thing, and I'll get out of the way here. I was visiting a little church in Louisiana. I was the only white person there. I think I might have told you about this already. But I had made friends with these folks, and they loved me. And we had this good relationship building. And I lived here in Norwich, but we were in Mississippi for some reason, so I was invited to speak. And I went. I had this problem in my esophagus. Some of you probably know what this is, the alkalgia, where I can't swallow my food. The little whatever it is down here won't open up and let the food down. And it put me in the hospital for a time, because I went through a long time not knowing what was wrong with me, thinking I might have cancer or something. So the doctor went ahead and opened that up a little bit so I could swallow a little bit. But while I was down in Mississippi, I had already been like a three-day period, no food and no water, able to get through it all. And I had been to the hospital, and then they had run that big long thing down my throat and all that business, you know, they do. So I was able to get some food down, some nourishment. And so I opted to not go to Yale at that time and do the thing. It is treatable and can be, you know, some things can be corrected where I could live more normally than I do. But I was too busy. So some years have gone by now, but a lot having to do with these years that have gone by now happened like this. While I was in Mississippi, This started happening again. I couldn't swallow, couldn't drink water, couldn't eat food, not even any kind of food. And it was bothering me. A couple of days had gone by, no nourishment at all, and I was invited to preach. And I went to this church, and I never told anybody what I was going through. And I preached my heart out and talked about faith. People gathered around the front and were praising God at the end of the service. There was a little thin lady. She looked like she was about 90 years old. In the midst of all this praising, unnoticed, not an evangelist, not a preacher, not somebody that everybody's looking up on the stage to see what he's going to do next, but this little elderly lady walked over to me. She said, "Pardon me." And she just took her little shaking hand, placed it right here. She said, "Lord, open it up." And from that moment till now, I've been able to swallow. I ate mashed potatoes while I came here. And right after I got through eating them, Sister Lynn brought me some mashed potatoes and gravy from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hallelujah, I'll eat that when I get home. I can even eat popcorn. Popcorn. And if I chew long enough, I can eat steak, but it's not worth the effort, so I just blend it. Praise God. Now, that lady's probably been dead for years, but that touch of God, praise God, meant so much to me. It was not a thing where I was called out of the audience as I fell on the floor and said, "Woo, I've been healed." But that one little lady, unnoticed by anybody else, but probably in the presence of angels giving God the glory, touched me with faith, and I thank God for it. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And, you know, we have to realize that that's what, you know, all the Bible basically is a testimony. And Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, and we thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ is still showing himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect before him. And you can look at all the outward and try to criticize or whatever. But as the scripture says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so we just thank God. The Lord knows how to meet our needs and our desires. And as Pastor Rutledge said, Sister Lovejoy, she called the church here. He didn't even give her the number. She looked the number up and she called. Yeah? So I was saying, the phone doesn't work in my office, so... You know, I didn't get the message, but thank God we had the message machine on the other phone in the other office, and so we thank God that she was able to get through, and I put the message on save, so we'll have it. Because, see, this is real. It's real. Brother Dixon went out there to Oklahoma City when he had business out there in Oklahoma City, and, you know, they treated him just like his... their brother, family. And she took him to his family and met all his family, then took him to the hospital so he could pray for people. And then, you know, when he had a limousine that was going to take him to the airport, they said, "No, we'll take you to the airport." In the Jesus van. Yeah. And people might have thought, "Oh, that's crazy, Jesus van." But they drove that van from Oklahoma City to Norwich, parked it right outside the door. And after service, we can come and see the Jesus van. Yeah. Open it up, take a look, you know. Yeah. This is my Jesus van, you know. And so...
they said they're coming to the next
coming
again, too.
All right. All right. We thank God for we've seen with our eyes. We've beheld. Hallelujah. And so, you know, some things you might read in the Bible. And they're like, oh, this is kind of... Why do you think Nicodemus came to Jesus? He's not going to come for some ordinary stuff. He said, we know that the things that we've seen can be done except God be with you. And so the Lord came, and we talked to you about how the surgeon came up all the way from Yale to come and meet my friends. So he came and sat outside the Bible study and waited till the Bible study was over. And then he came in and he said, just want to meet your friends. After he had seen the miracle of how the Lord healed my liver. Medically documented. I showed Pastor Ellis the slides. Still have the slides. My bile ducts were all scarred up. I had sclerosing cholangitis. There was nothing to operate to. And the surgeon took me back upstairs and said, we can't operate. And thank God I called and talked to Bishop Geddes, and Bishop Geddes said, don't start doubting now. Why should we start doubting? We start doubting. We say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm all ready for surgery. I'm ready for another massive operation. I had a massive operation probably 3 months before that. And then I was going to have another massive operation. And I said, okay, I'll have it. But the Lord, you know, said, hey, he chooses how he wants to deal because he's going to get the glory. And I thank God how he basically had me to go back up to the room, and so how the doctor, my oncologist, came into the room, Dr. Portluck. She was a renowned specialist dealing with Hodgkin's disease, and that's what I had before, and the Lord delivered me from Hodgkin's disease. And she came in the room, she said, you have a very serious problem with your liver. This was life and death. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I could just touch the hem of this garment, I will be made whole. So Dr. Portluck said, we have a 48-hour pass. You can go home. So I said, okay, I'll go home. And I went home. And Bishop Geddes and Dr. Woodley came over to our apartment in West Hartford. And they came to just talk and talk about the goodness of the Lord and just talk. And I just, my wife had to drive me to church because I couldn't drive. I was all messed up. It was all jaundiced and it was pain. It was terrible. And I just, if I could just get to church. And we got to church. And the men of God prayed after the service. They prayed. Just like he said, that woman came and just touched them. And they prayed, and that day I felt virtue go forward. I still had the symptoms. Still was jaundiced, still itching, still feeling terrible, but I knew that the Lord had touched my body. And so I went home, went across the street, told the neighbors, the Lord's healed me. You know, they thought I was crazy. Yeah. And so I had to go back. My wife's a witness, right? And so then I had to go back into the hospital. And so I told my doctor, the surgeon, I said, I don't want to be probed and prodded anymore. I feel the Lord has healed me. And so I want to go home. And so he said, okay. Come back and see me in 2 weeks. So I came back to see him 2 weeks. And everything was gone. Yeah. I thank God. This is in May, and so in July, the symptoms came back, and they came back worse. And so, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? But you know, I started talking to Bishop Geddes again, and I said, the Lord healed me, you know, and I don't want to go back into the hospital. And he didn't say, you didn't get healed. He just said, go let them document your healing. Just like Jesus told the leper, go show yourself to the priest. Hallelujah. So I went back into the hospital in December. And they did a test before where they did the scope and they poke you in the left-hand side and they go into your liver to see your bile ducts. And everything was all scarred up. Nothing to be able to operate to. So in December, they were going to come in the other direction on the left side. And I had to use ultrasound to go bypass my heart and then get to my liver. And they did that. And the technicians and everything. I was lying there. And the technicians said, they're normal! They're normal! Yeah. They said, this is the closest thing to a miracle I've ever seen. This is right there in the room. They're all screaming and yelling. Yeah, they're normal! And then my liver specialist comes running down the hall, you know, and he comes into the room. He said, that general is always talking about his God. This is Dr. Rubin, Adrian Rubin. He's down in Charleston, South Carolina now. At least that's where, last time I heard, that's where he was, the hospital down there. But I thank God that, you know, the same, radiologist that did the films in May and December, he was the same one, Dr. Denny. And he said to me that if I wasn't the same radiologist that did the films in May and December, I would have sworn somebody switched your films. And so he sent me the slides and said, basically, stay well. And he sent me these slides. And the slides show the dramatic difference. And I showed them to Pastor Rutledge this evening. And so I have the slides because even last November I was in the hospital and the liver specialists were coming in and they were trying to say, oh, you have all these problems. They were trying to find a problem. I was like, you know, you asked me what happened. I told them what happened. She said, no, that doesn't happen. No, they don't do that. Well, if you don't want the answer, don't ask me questions. No, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it didn't happen. They did it. It's documented.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, they wanted to do HIDA scan. They wanted to do all this other kind of stuff. They just couldn't believe that I didn't have stuff blocking my liver. And so, thank God, you know? Lord just documented some more there. And so I thank God that, you know, after Dr. August had seen that, then he came up to church. So I was telling the saints how my gastroenterologist, you know, the Pastor Rutledge talking about he has stuff, being able to eat and stuff like that. And I know about that too. And so she's seen miracles happen in my life. Even this past January, they were saying I had cancer in my kidney. And so they were concerned about that, and the Lord worked that out. And so, you know, she's seen all this. And when she came into the room when I was down at the hospital this past time with the eye infection and so on, and she came in, you know what she said? I feel like I failed you. That's what she said. I feel like I failed you. I said, no, you haven't failed me. And so I thank God that I could be able to talk to her. And then afterwards, like, she sent me an email just to, how are you doing? I hope you're doing well. And I sent her an email back and I said how, you know, the inflammation's gone down and I'm supposed to have surgery. And I pray, you know, that I'll be seeing after the surgery. So she sent me an email back the next day, and she's on Cape Cod on vacation. How many doctors are going to even be bothered to send any me emails back? when they're on vacation, out of town. She sent the email back, and she said that, you know, I'll be praying for you that you'll see after your surgery also. She didn't say necessarily that you'll see right then. She said, I'll be praying that you'll see after. And she said, I believe in miracles. And she put exclamation point 3 times. And she said, you have the most faith of anybody I've ever met. And so she said, I believe in miracles, and I won't be able to come to your church this Sunday, because she's in Cape Cod. But I hope to be there the following weekend. And so she wants to come with her family, and whole family, and my oncologist. He's saying, I'll come with the proctors, you know. So he wants to come. And you know, when I was down there talking to my oncologist, he came into the room and he sat down on the couch, because I had a couch in my room. And I said, you know, Dr. Cooper, this is just like Job. And so he said, explain to me the significance of Job. So I said, oh, okay. So I did. And I explained to him what happened to Job. See, Job was a man who was righteous and he eschewed evil and he didn't curse God foolishly with his mouth.
Right.
And one day the sons of God came before God and the one showed up with them was Lucifer, who now is called Satan.
Right.
And he showed up and the Lord asked, where have you been? He said, going to and fro, up and down the earth. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous, eschews evil. And the devil said, oh yeah, he serve you. Yeah, all this stuff you haven't hedged in, he has all this stuff, he's the richest man in the East. You know, sure he'll serve you. You know? And so the Lord said, okay. You want this? Go ahead. Take that. Take this. But don't touch his life. And do you believe that the Lord's talking about you? Can the Lord bring you before and say, have you considered my servant?
Thank you, Jesus.
You consider my servant, Pastor Rutledge? Have you considered my servant, you know, Dr. Hall? Have you considered my servant? You know, people say, oh, no, don't consider me.
Hallelujah.
I have to go through trials and tribulations. You don't realize. Have you considered my servant, Deacon Cody? You see what he's going through? You see how he's faithful, how he comes, and even though he's sick and he's hurting, he comes, he works and labors, even he won't say anything about it. Have you considered that? Yeah, he served you because you blessed him. He's got that big job and all, yeah, this and that. That's why you. The Lord said, okay, go ahead. Do it. All right? So the Lord said, oh, we had this big, nice Family and Friends Day service. Everybody's rejoicing. I need you to survive. We heard brother Bradley's wonderful testimony, how the Lord spared him from the tractor accident, and he didn't go down in the pond and drown, and you know, and the Lord put his face back together, basically. You know, and we heard that. You know, and Pastor Roman comes down here, 7 car accident.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord spared him. And he's talking about a battle that we have to go through. You know?
Glory.
And that night, I'm sure the devil talked to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, have you considered my servant? Yeah, I considered him. Yeah, he's got that ready-made church. You know, everything's already set for him. That's why. And the Lord said, okay. You know? I need my eyes.
Yes.
I read a lot. And I'm dependent upon my eyes. And so, you know, it's one thing, like I said, to be never have seen.
Right.
But when you've seen, And then in a matter of hours, you can't see.
That's right.
You really need to know that all things work together for good. That there's a purpose. You got to know that. You have to know that. And I just thank God that what happened to me, you know, I have, I don't have a spleen because of with the Hodgkin's. They had to take the spleen out. You know, they checked the spleen to see if it has any tumors in it. And so once you check it, you have to take the spleen out or else you bleed to death. So they take the spleen out. So I don't have a cleansing for my blood. And if I get a blood infection, the blood goes through my body and it can seed anywhere. And I just thank God that, like I said, it could have seeded in my brain. It could have seeded in my heart valves. It could have seeded in my liver, my kidney, my other organs. It could have seeded in both of my eyes. But why didn't it? It's because we serve a God who loves us and knows that there's a purpose for everything. And so, yeah, maybe I lose vision in this left eye for now. You know, because I'm not, that's why the scripture said, if we hope for that which we see not, then do with patience wait for it. So the Lord can still give me back the vision. But I know medically, Sister Samuel, she was there during the surgery. She is assisting the eye doctor who is operating. And they see the retina all basically dead. Just the bacteria just ate up everything. And it's just shriveled up into a shock. And it's just sitting there. So it's irreparable, according to medical science. But the Lord is the one who made the eye. So he could, Lord willing, life last, if it's his will, he can give me a new retina to be able to see.
I don't want to be out of order, but could I do something?
Sure.
Brother Joe and Brother Bradley, would you come up and join me? We're going to pray for Pastor Hale.
Amen. Are we instructed to pray? Amen. Amen. And all of you believe God. Now, hallelujah. He needs his eyes. Praise God. And God can do anything but fail. Praise God. Let's believe God that God will give us a great testimony. A lot of people watching and God will get the glory. Brother Bradley, would you step up here and lead us in prayer?
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And,
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, let us pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Lord Jesus, we stand on your name, Lord, to know that you are able to do all that your word says you were able to do. God, that you have healed the blinded eye. Lord, you have made the lame to walk.
Yes, Lord.
You have made the deaf to hear.
Yes,
God, there is nothing that you cannot do. Lord, honor the faith that is present here tonight. Lord, in a cloud of many witnesses, Lord, let your word be established. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to see your great work brought by your hand.
Yes, Lord.
God, we believe, Lord, that you're able to do all that you say you do. God, that you would restore the sight to my brother.
Yes, Lord.
God, cause that eye to be made whole. God, cause him to be able to see. Hallelujah. God, that you would do, Lord, as only you are able to do. God, cause us to see, Lord, with a greater vision than we've ever seen before.
Hallelujah.
God, we thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, in the only name that is able to do the work, to the only true and living God who is able to hear, who is able to answer, and who is able to cause change. We thank you, Lord, for your name. We thank you for the strength that we have in it. And God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we might just glorify your name, that we might just do a great work. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we know. God, that you have called us to do this. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and your present help.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. For Lord, you are a present help in a time of need.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. We thank God, hallelujah, for, you know, and as the men of God were praying, you know what the Lord brought back to my mind? How our brother from Somerville came down and he sang that song, "He Touched Me." He touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Hallelujah. Something happened. Hallelujah. He touched me. And he made me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has touched me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, hallelujah, because he heard my cry, hallelujah. And I thank God, hallelujah, even as I thank God as they were praying, and also even before, Lord, glorify yourself, hallelujah. This was even before the surgery, and the Lord said, just like he said, I will, and I'll glorify it again, hallelujah. And the Lord will continue to glorify himself, hallelujah, in our midst, hallelujah. So let's expect great things, hallelujah, hallelujah, in our midst, hallelujah. What the Lord is doing for us, hallelujah, and we're continuing to pray for our brothers and sisters in Norwich, and we have a service scheduled for January 28th, 5 o'clock down in Norwich, and we're looking forward to that, hallelujah, and unless the Lord says we come before then, you know, or you come back here, you know, it's just the Lord, we're just going as the Lord leads, you know, and because we need one another, we need this fellowship, and I really thank God for what the Lord is doing for us in our midst, in Jesus' name. And, you know, look at Brother Bradley. Doesn't he look good? Yeah. God is good. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, that's why it's good to come to church so you can see and hear. Because we can only speak the things that we've seen and heard. You know? So that's why it's good to come, because you might not believe, you know, that when we saw this brother on November 26th, he didn't look like that.
No.
Huh? And he testified about just in a week,
he was able, after having that massive accident, big tractor, roll over on him and basically crush his face. And how within a week he could come and be at service to give that testimony, because we needed it. And that's why, thank God, that Pastor Rutledge and the saints were able to come tonight so that we could hear the testimonies. You know, it might have seemed a little bit, oh my goodness. You know, they start talking about the gambling, talk about the casino, and talk about, you know, we don't gamble, we don't go to casino, we don't do that, we don't play lotto, we don't do that. Yeah, we don't. The Lord used whatever he wants. Just like he used the mud, put it in the man's eye. He spit. And you can say, oh my gosh, that's nasty. He spit. Alright? That's not clean. The Lord used whatever he wants. Alright? So, we thank God that the Lord could take care of our life. Speaker Randolph could say, that's not going to be usual for the prosecuting attorney and the judge. And they have to call up and say, wait a minute. She go to your church. And then just give him $100 fine. She said, get out of here. That's not going to happen much, but what will happen, just like, you know, Pilate's wife. I've had dreams about this man. Don't have any. I just like the Lord could wake up Pharaoh with a dream and trouble him. And the Lord wake up this judge crying. Because you might have said, that's not wise. That's not cool. You tell the person you're going to hell. Right there in court. That could cause you to get some more sentence. But sometimes you can't be thinking about your couth.
That's right.
You have to think about this woman. She's dying.
Yeah.
And she cared enough about this judge to tell him. And thank God that opened up a door there for this judge to have his wife look for this internet. And you see how the Lord works? That's beautiful. And he'll draw, because when you really believe God and trust him, he can work things out. And turn the king's heart. Like a river of water, he turneth it so ever he will. So, you know, then the scripture talk about you make friends of unrighteous mammon. So you say, that casino money, that's unrighteous mammon. You know? Nobody's telling you to go there and gamble. Alright? But the Lord uses whatever he wants. You know, the money that you get sometimes in a store or whatever, you don't know where that money's been. Or even where it came from. You just, it's green money, I can transact. So what is... She got some money so she could basically, she getting that kind of computer laptop. Brother Hannah, that's pretty decent, right? Brother Price? Brother Price said that's very decent. Brother Price deals with computers all day. That's his job. You know? So we just thank God, you know, Sister Dr. Gordon, that's pretty good, right? Dr. Gordon was out there with Mr. Gates in Seattle when the earthquake happened.
Wow.
And she was out there for some computer conference. You know, because she set up all these computers when she was working in Harlem.
Wow.
You know? So you see, we have these jewels right here in the church.
Right,
and the Lord can provide for us and help us to see, you know, that this is a real testimony.
Yes.
You know, if you just kind of just take your phobias off. Take all these blinders off and all this doubting mentality and realize that the Lord does what he can, does so that he can help us.
Yes.
Alright? And so all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So
We thank God for what the Lord is doing for us. And we saw with our eyes and our ears how that woman, that Sister Lovejoy, she walked across the front of the church with her walker, you know. And that's, you know, sometimes that's something to be able to keep people alive. Just the thought of being able to just come and be with my brothers and sisters, that's the hope that kept her alive. That's why the scripture says, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope keeps us. We're saved by hope.
Hallelujah.
We have no hope. We just roll up and die. And thank God, you know, just to be able to get together again. That's what helps us to be able to go through and make it. That's why, you know, we hear about Sister Lovejoy and she has this happen, that happen. Oh, gosh, seems like it's over. You know? And then the Lord brings it through again. Brings it through again. And this is real.
Real.
So, like, I just wanted to share with you some of the things so you can see that, you know, God has done some real things in our midst. And sometimes, Pastor Rutler says, sometimes we just forget, you know. We think that it's just a story, you know. But it's real. It's real. You know, others in our midst here have the same kind of real testimonies. Dr. Geddes, you know, maybe a year or so ago, she didn't look like that. You know? She was all blown up, and you know, she had all kinds of stuff. She couldn't even hardly walk. You know, had to use a cane to just try and get around the hospital to make her rounds with the patients. You know, and she couldn't even hardly breathe. You know, but the Lord is real.
Yeah,
you know? She couldn't even eat. She developed diabetes and all this stuff, and Dr. Proctor had to deal with her too.